Welcome to the Victory of the Lamb podcast. We are a simple, straightforward Bible-teaching church located in Katy, Texas. If you're in the area, we'd love for you to stop by anytime. Otherwise, we hope you use this podcast to grow in your faith and be confident in sharing that faith with many. You can find us online at votl.org. We hope you enjoy this message. God bless your week. Dear Christian, God's grace, mercy, and never-ending peace be yours in abundance today as you consider what is foolishness and what is wisdom, leaning always on God's wisdom. One of my science professors at Dr. Martin Luther College many years ago was a man named Martin Sponholz. He had an interesting life path that was unique. Before he became a science professor at our church body's Lutheran College in Minnesota, he was a meteorologist, and he worked for the United States government. Sponholz studied a lot, recorded data, conducted research, had all kinds of adventures. One of those adventures led him on a trip to Antarctica, where he recorded data, conducted research with a team, and even has a mountain named after him to this day. It's called Sponholz Peak. On that trip to Antarctica, something life-changing happened. Sponholz and his fellow researchers were drilling deep into the ice to see what they could learn. Several feet down, there was an unusual layer of ice, large gaps with bubbles trapped in odd places, as though some sort of global disaster had taken place thousands of years ago, and the layers of ice were telling the story in the way that they were formed. As the team of researchers were tossing around all kinds of ideas as to what could have caused the ice layers to be that way, Sponholz suggested maybe it was because of a global flood, like the one mentioned in the days of Noah in the Bible, approximately 5,000 or 6,000 years ago. He was laughed at. He was ridiculed, belittled mercilessly for even suggesting that a biblical flood like Noah's day could even be a possibility. It was as though anything else was acceptable as a possibility, no matter how far-fetched it would seem, except the possibility that God's word is the truth, that a global flood happened in Noah's day just as the Bible describes it, and all other guesses would be wrong. His fellow researchers didn't let that go the entire trip until they got home. Sponholz continued to be chortled at, belittled, made fun of, ridiculed. When he finally got back home, he decided to change careers and become a science teacher and professor in the Lutheran school system. One interesting thought as you think about a story like that, do you think that Satan is behind that general attitude? That everything else is a possibility except God's word being the truth? It leads into the question, what is foolishness? What is wisdom? Am I a fool? Am I wise? How do I know? God's word has a lot to say about that, and today the segment of sermon verses from 1 Corinthians 1 will certainly help us in that direction. Listen to these verses from Paul's pen, inspired by the Holy Spirit. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Human beings love to be able to figure things out, and that's a gift from God, the gift of reason. We can figure things out like no other creature. And there's a sense of satisfaction that comes when you have a problem that you're facing and you figure out the solution. Just yesterday, I was installing some new doorknobs in our house as we're updating some things. Pretty simple task. And that was mostly true, except there was one doorknob that was frozen. It was something that would not budge. And I tried this, and I tried that, and I tried a third thing, and then a fourth thing. Nothing was working until then, finally, I got it. And it was exciting. It was satisfying. But being satisfied because you solved a fix-it problem in your house, or with your car, or at your place of occupation is different than having the satisfaction of solving the problem of a broken relationship with God. In order for a human being to fix their relationship with God, a human being needs to play God. And wow, that is the essence of sinfulness, is it not? The pride and arrogance involved in a human being saying, "I am God. You listen to me now, God, and I will call the shots." When human beings are attempting to fix their relationship with God, they have thoughts like this in mind. I'm going to make God in my image. He didn't make me in his image. The Bible is not God's word. It is just humans' opinion. And my opinion trumps everything. I get to decide what it means, whenever I feel like the right interpretation is correct. I get to decide who is and who is not accountable to God. I get to decide who does and does not go to heaven. Human beings trying to play God will invariably put God in a box and assume that God is like them. For example, I'm erratic and weak, so therefore God also must be erratic and weak. I'm arrogant sometimes, and so therefore God also must be arrogant sometimes. I'm not forgiving to others or myself, and so therefore, God would never forgive me, and God would never forgive them either. So therefore, I have a right to hold a grudge against them, and a right to hold a grudge against myself. I have boundaries, I don't know everything, I can't solve all the problems in the world, and so therefore, God also must have boundaries. Do you see? When we are trying to play God, we can't help but project our own weaknesses and feelings onto God as though He is just like us. Except, though Jesus was human 100%, He also is God 100%, and He has no boundaries. What a gift we have in getting to know Jesus Christ, our Savior. The power of the cross. The power of the cross, as 1 Corinthians 1 says, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is different. The foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. The weakness of God is stronger than human strength. That will always be true, and here's why. The power of the cross, as I get to know Jesus better, that destroys my longing for human power. It destroys my craving for human wisdom as the one thing that could fix everything. I don't want to create God in my image anymore because it's a blessing to hear that God created man in His image and then wants to restore that image through His word and through His gospel. I don't want to make up God's word, the message of the Bible, in accordance with my feelings, because that's always changeable. That's shaky. I want to listen to God's word as He has written it and spoken it, because that is strong and eternal. I don't want to give God boundaries. What a blessing it is to worship and praise a God that can do things I could never do, that is far more loving than I could ever be, that is forgiving and patient like none other. What a blessing to say, I'm going to stop this attempt, this fix-it attempt, to fix my broken relationship with God, and instead say, I rest in Christ's finished work. He has already fixed everything that was broken between God and me forever. Jesus laid down his power, though he had it all. Jesus, with unmatched wisdom, kept eternal matters in mind as his big deal, not just temporary day-to-day matters. That is what we call the power of the cross, being better, wiser, stronger than anything humans could ever come up with. God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, is always on my side. It doesn't matter what my feelings say. God, who made man in his image and wants me to have a beautiful, precious, eternal friendship with him, I'm never going to put him in a box. God, unmatched in every way, is always in charge, so I don't have to be. He doesn't identify with boundaries unless he willingly chooses to do so, such as willing to place himself on a cross. Whenever he does something like that, he only does so with my best interest in mind, the eternal good for my soul. Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten, then nailed to a cross of wood. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath. We stand forgiven at the cross. That's wisdom. That's powerful. It does not go unnoticed as the Christian lives their normal, humble, repentant lifestyle. Last year, my wife Amy and I celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary, and that brought up an occasional conversation when someone would find out, oh, you've been married 25 years? Wow, what's the secret? And we invariably would say, well, it's Jesus. Jesus loves us. Jesus forgives us. So we love and forgive each other, teach our kids do the same, and we've been married 25 years happily and going strong. And they would say, okay, yeah, but what's the real reason? Because it can't be Jesus. You see how invasive that natural human scorn towards Jesus is? Just like those researchers in Antarctica would have accepted anything else except God's word as a possibility. Just like people we run into today would accept anything else besides Jesus' love and forgiveness as the source of a happy marriage. So also today, Jesus is scorned. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. And yet, it is the power of God, the strength of God, the wisdom of God worth pursuing. And really, that's why we're here today on Groundbreaking Sunday. That's why we are taking the time and effort to dig in the ground and build an education center and launch a preschool ministry by God's grace. We want these children to grow up knowing about Jesus' love for them, knowing about how good it is to see your Savior as forgiving instead of an angry judge. We want these children to grow up and be missionaries to their homes, that as we teach them the Bible stories and as we teach them Jesus songs, they will go home and share that with their parents. They'll go home and share that with their siblings. They will be incredible missionaries, powerful, wise, as powerful and wise can be, Because you see, a preschooler who can say, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is wiser and stronger than any of those researchers in Antarctica or anyone who's a valedictorian at some high-level institution but doesn't care about Jesus as their Savior. What's foolishness? What's wisdom? God's word alone makes it clear. Let's stay with the wisdom. Let's grow in the wisdom. Let's share the wisdom that we have in Christ. Because the one who trusts in Christ is never put to shame. Amen. We know your time is precious. Thank you so much for investing some of your time with us today. If you're enjoying this podcast, would you be so kind as to click to follow our show and give us a 5-star rating? That's a quick and easy way to help us get the message of truth out to more people. Thank you so much. God bless your day in Christ.